Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So today we'll be reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 21. Our focus will be on text number 38. Chapter 21 of Canto 4 is titled as Instructions by Maharaj Prithu. So let's focus on text number 38. Brahmanya Deva Purusha Puratano. Brahmanya Deva Purusha Puratano. Nityam Hariryas Charana Bhivandanat. Nityam Hariryas Charana Bhivandanat. Avapa Lakshmim Anapayinim Yasho. Avapa Lakshmim Anapayinim Yasho. Jagat Pavitram Cha Mahatmagrani. Jagat Pavitram Cha Mahatmagrani. Brahmanya Deva Purusha Puratano.
Brahmanya Deva Purusha Puratano.
Nityam Hariryat Charana Bhivandanat.
Nityam Hariryat Charana Bhivandanat.
Avapa Lakshmim Anapayinim Yasho.
Avapa Lakshmim Anapayinim Yasho.
Jagat Pavitram Cha Mahatmagrani.
Jagat Pavitram Cha
Brahmanya Deva Purusha Puratano.
Brahmanya Deva Purusha Puratano.
Nityam Hariryas Charana Bhivandana.
Nityam Hariryas Charana Bhivandana.
Avapa Lakshmim Anapayinim Yasho.
Avapa Lakshmim Anapayinim Yasho.
Jagat Pavitram Cha Mahatmagrani.
Jagat Pavitram Cha
Brahmanya Deva,
Brahmanya Deva,
the Lord of the Brahminical culture,
the Lord of the Brahminical culture.
Purusha,
Purusha,
the Supreme Personality,
Supreme Personality.
Puratana,
Puratana,
the oldest,
oldest.
Nityam,
Nityam,
eternal.
Eternal.
Hari,
Hari,
the Personality of Godhead,
Personality of Godhead.
Yat,
Yat,
whose,
whose.
Charana,
Charana,
lotus feet,
lotus feet.
Abhivandanat,
Abhivandanat,
by means of worshipping,
by means of worshipping.
Avapa,
Avapa,
obtained,
obtained.
Lakshmi,
Lakshmi,
opulences,
opulences.
Anapayinim,
Anapayinim,
perpetually,
perpetually.
Yashaha,
Yashaha,
reputation,
reputation.
Jagat,
Jagat,
universal,
universal.
Pavitram,
Pavitram,
purified,
purified.
Cha,
Cha,
also,
also.
Mahat,
Mahat,
great,
great.
Tama,
Tama,
supreme,
supreme.
Agrani,
Agrani,
foremost,
foremost.
Translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, the ancient, eternal Godhead, who is foremost amongst all great personalities, obtained the opulence of his staunch reputation, which purifies the entire universe by worshipping the lotus feet of those Brahmanas and Vaishnavas. Purport, Srila Prabhupada, teacher. The Supreme Person is described herein as Brahmanya Deva. Brahmanya refers to the Brahmanas, the Vaishnavas, or the Brahminical culture. And Deva means worshipable Lord. Therefore, unless one is on the transcendental platform of being a Vaishnav or on the highest platform of material goodness as a Brahman, he cannot appreciate the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the lower stages of ignorance and passion, it is difficult to appreciate or understand the Supreme Lord. Therefore, the Lord is described herein as the worshipable deity for persons in Brahminical and Vaishnav culture. Namo Brahmanya Devaya, Go Brahmana Hitaya Cha, Jagat Ditaya Krishnaya, Govindaya Namo Namaha. Vishnu Purana, 1965. Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the prime protector of Brahminical culture and the cow. Without knowledge and respecting these, one cannot realize the science of God, and without this knowledge, any welfare activities or humanitarian propaganda cannot be successful. The Lord is Purusha, or the Supreme Enjoyer. Not only is He the Enjoyer when He appears as a manifested incarnation, but He is the Enjoyer since time immemorial, from the very beginning, Puratanaha, and eternally, Nityam. Yat Charanabhivandanat, Prithu Maharaj said that the Supreme Personality of Godhead attained this opulence of eternal fame simply by worshipping the lotus feet of the Brahmanas. In the Bhagavad Gita it is said that the Lord does not need to work to achieve material gain. Since He is perpetually supremely perfect, He does not need to obtain anything, but still it is said that He obtained His opulences by worshipping the lotus feet of the Brahmanas. These are His exemplary actions. When Lord Shri Krishna was in Dwarka, He offered His respects by bowing down at the lotus feet of Narada. When Sudama Vipra came to His house, Lord Krishna personally washed His feet and gave Him a seat on His personal bed. Although He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna offered His respects to Maharaj Yudhishthira and Kunti. The Lord's exemplary behavior is to teach us. We should learn from His personal behavior how to give protection to the cow, how to cultivate Brahminical qualities, and how to respect the Brahmanas and the Vaishnavas. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 3.21, Yad yad acharati shreshtas tat tad eve taro janaha. If the leading personalities behave in a certain manner, others follow them automatically. Who can be more of a leading personality than the Supreme Personality of Godhead? And whose behavior could be more exemplary? It is not that He needed to do all these things to acquire material gain, but all of these acts were performed just to teach us how to behave in the material world. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is described herein as Mahat Tama Agranihi. Within this material world, the Mahattamas, or great personalities, are Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. But He is above them all. Narayana Paro Avyaktat. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is in a transcendental position above everything created within this material world. His opulence, His riches, His beauty, His wisdom, His knowledge, His renunciation, and His reputation are all Jagat Pavitram, universally purifying. The more we discuss His opulences, the more the universe becomes purer and purer. In the material world, the opulences possessed by a material person are never fixed. Today, one may be a very rich man, but tomorrow he may become poor. Today, one may be very famous, but tomorrow he may be infamous. Materially obtained opulences are never fixed, but all six opulences perpetually exist in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, not only in the spiritual world, but also in this material world. Lord Krishna's reputation is fixed, and his book of wisdom, Bhagavad Gita, is still honored. Everything pertaining to the Supreme Personality of Godhead is eternally existing. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yatkripatam Aham Vande Shri Guru Dinatarinam Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyayavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
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 Narayanam Namaskritya
Narayanam Namaskritya
Charam Chaiva Narottamam
Devim
Sarasvatim Vyasam
Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam
Toto Jayamudhiraye
Nashta
Prayeshu Abhadreshu
Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu
Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya
Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya
Bhagavati Uttama Shloke
Bhagavati Uttama Shloke
Bhakti Bhavati Naishtiki
Bhakti Bhagavati Naishtiki
Krishnaya Vasudevaya
Krishnaya Vasudevaya
Devaki Nandanaya Cha
Nandagopa Kumaraya Nandagopa Kumaraya
Govindaya Namo Namaha
Govindaya Namo
Namaha Brahmanya Deva Purusha Puratano Nityam Hari Yacharanabhi Vandanat Avapa Lakshmim Anapayanim Yasho Jagat Pavitram Chamahat Tamakrani. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, the ancient eternal Godhead, who is foremost amongst all personalities, obtained the opulence of his staunch reputation, which purifies the entire universe, by worshipping the lotus feet of those Brahmanas and Vaishnavas. So, this chapter, true to its title, is very instructive. Because this chapter is also titled as Instructions of by Maharaj Prithu. Just like we have the nectar of instruction. So if you see the flavor of nectar of devotion and nectar of instruction, it's different. Nectar of instruction is very, very instructive. Do this, do that. Dadati pratigranati gohyam akyati prachati utsaha nischaya dairya tatat karma pravartana. It's very, very instructive in nature. So, this chapter is also very instructive in its nature. If you go through all the previous verses, Prithu Maharaj is giving a lot of instructions based on his realization. So, a very quick context leading up to this verse. Prithu Maharaj did a Ashwamedha Yajna. He could not complete his 100, he could complete only 99. And he was waiting to do his 100. Indra stole his horse out of envy. However, Lord Vishnu was extremely pleased with Maharaj Prithu because he did not harbor any inimical desires towards Indra. He just wanted to satisfy Lord Vishnu, and Lord Vishnu said that I am satisfied, whether it is 19 or 100 doesn't matter, because at the end of the day Lord Krishna is Bhavagrahi Janardana. He sees the heart of the devotee, he doesn't count. So Lord Vishnu is very pleased with the mood of Maharaj Prithu, and then Lord gives instructions on the science of self-realization, on Rajarishi leadership. Lord gives instructions to Maharaj Prithu, offers benediction. Indra, on the other hand, who is standing next, he is very repentant. Prithu Maharaj is very moved by the kindness and affection of the Lord, and he cannot control his tears, so he wipes his tears as Lord Vishnu boards the Garuda. Prithu Maharaj prays to the Lord for bhakti and service, devotional service. He prays for that. Lord offers so many benedictions, but he refuses all that, and he only prays for pure devotion. And Lord Vishnu, seeing this mood of Maharaj Prithu, seeing his purity of purpose, blesses him. Prithu Maharaj worships not only Lord Vishnu, but he takes care of the assembled Vaishnavas as well. So he worships all the assembled members with equal fervor. Seeing, and then Lord Vishnu, being pleased with Prithu Maharaj, leaves the assembly. That's when chapter 21, this chapter, instructions by Maharaj Prithu begins. This chapter begins by Maharaj Prithu entering the city after the yajna. He's entering his city and he's welcomed very opulently and very affectionately by his praja. Maharaj Prithu performs various glorious activities, which is all there in the earlier purports. We don't have to go through that now, but he performs various glorious activities and he rules his kingdom very efficiently and effectively. And then it is Maitreya Muni tells Vidur, and then having ruled thus, he went back to Godhead. However, Vidur is not contented. Vidura is not very fully satisfied as yet. He says, okay, I understand he went back to Godhead. Thank you for telling me up until now. But I want to hear more about this Maharaj Prithu's life. So can you give me some more details around his instructions? So again the narration starts and comes back to Maharaj Prithu. And how Maitreya Muni is narrating to Vidur how once upon a time Prithu Maharaj performed another big sacrifice where he invited many personalities. There were demigods, there were other great rulers of this world. All of them were assembled there. Brahmanas were assembled. And in this meeting, he gave his praja valuable instructions on bhakti. Maharaj Prithu, as the king, takes this opportunity to give valuable instructions on bhakti to whoever was assembled there. His message to those who were assembled is not merely theoretical in nature. It is extremely practical. He is talking from his own realizations. From his heart he speaks. And especially after speaking some of the Abhideya Tattva or the process of worshipping God, now he is talking about the Prayojana Tattva. He is talking about Lord Krishna and Lord Vishnu himself and about the Lord and the Lord's mood. The last few verses are about the Lord's mood. He talks about the qualities and potencies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in yesterday's verse, he talked about one of the key messages of the Supreme Personality of the Godhead, or the key mood which the Lord carries towards Brahmanas and
Vaishnavas.
And because the Lord carries a very favorable mood towards Brahmanas and Vaishnavas, the message which Prithu Maharaj gave yesterday was that we should be very careful to guard ourselves against offenses to Brahmanas and Vaishnavas. And all of you might have heard Gopurandesh Prabhu's extempore class yesterday, which was very, very, very good. Thank you, Gopurandesh Prabhu. Yesterday's class was brilliant. That too, extempore. I heard it twice actually. So it was so good. So Gopurandesh Prabhu explained yesterday why we should guard against offenses and how we should guard against offenses to Brahmanas and Vaishnavas. In today's words, Maharaj Prithu is explaining Lord Krishna's personal attitude and behavior or sadachar towards the Brahmanas and Vaishnavas. So, and a message to an audience as preacher can be given in three ways. There are multiple ways, but three ways, largely, broadly. One is, the best way is by giving a message without speaking, through one's personal example. And Maharaj Prithu has done that with full marks. The quality of his leadership itself, you know, if someone witnesses, then one gets inspired. So by personal example, he's already inspired them. Another way is by giving instructions. Personal example, giving instructions, which is what he's doing in this entire chapter. But when we give instructions, sometimes we can also quote others' examples whose authority everyone respects. And whose authority in all these assembled sages respected? Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he is giving an example of how that Supreme Personality of Godhead deals with Brahmanas and Vaishnavas. So in today's class, we'll spend some time discussing the various aspects of Brahmanas and Vaishnavas and how the Lord deals with them. We'll also see some pastimes where the Lord demonstrates by his personal example how to deal with Brahmanas and Vaishnavas. So to begin with, what are the qualities of a Brahman that attract the Lord? So at the outset, there are three things which come to mind. There could be again many things, but the three things which came to my mind when I was preparing for this class. One was that most of the world today is going towards atheism or agnostic, or I think Devamrita Maharaj mentioned one nice word the other day. I forgot. What is it? Talks about apathy. What is it?
Huh?
Apotheism. Okay. So people don't care. Okay. What difference it makes? While most of the world is going in that direction, at least the Brahmana could be a Smartha Brahmana. He need not be a Vaishnava. Who is a Smartha Brahmana? A person who worships the Lord, who is very adept at Vedic rituals, who is very knowledgeable in the scriptures, who can chant Vedic mantras with the right meter, but whose purpose is to acquire material benedictions or to act on behalf of someone else who has paid the Brahmana, because that person wants some material benediction. So the Brahmana is conducting as a rhetoric priest that yagya. So this is the mood of a Smartha Brahman. Now, the Lord acknowledges even these Smartha Brahmanas. Why? Because these Brahmanas, though they are seeking material rewards for themselves or others, they still acknowledge a supreme power, which most of the world does not care about. So that is one observation which the Lord does of these people. Not only these Brahmanas recognize a supreme power, but they also have respect for the scriptures. Yes, they may utilize the scriptures for gaining material things, but at least they respect the scriptures. At least they say that Isopanishad, they may say Om Purnamadam Purnamidam, and they may do something, some yagya with material motives. But at least they are quoting something with respect to the Isopanishad. At least they are doing that. So the Lord acknowledges that. Because these people acknowledge the scriptures as the word of God. they may not know, the Smartha Brahmana may not necessarily be a Krishna worshipper, or he may not acknowledge Krishna's supreme position. That's a different issue. But at least he acknowledges that there is something called the scriptures, it is a word of God, and therefore it must be respected, and therefore one must live at least in deference to these scriptures. One must live one's life in accordance with these scriptures, even if it means for material purposes or for enriching one's material life. Like for example, in our office we find three types of people. One, who come to office, they don't care about the company, they don't care about the manager. They'll come to office. And these type of subordinates are the most difficult to manage. Okay, they don't care about anything. Second one, who care all about the company, but they don't care about the manager. And especially if you are the manager, you have trouble with these people. Okay. Third are those which also care about the company, but who also respect the manager. Okay, of course, the manager also has to be worthy of respect. That's a different thing. But there are three types of people. So, if you see, at least the manager is happy to one extent that at least company values this guy. You know, at least he believes in hard work. He believes in working to the interest of the company. So maybe during the appraisal time, the manager will at least give him a big rating. Maybe he must have argued with the manager and told the manager, I don't think you are, you know, worthy of sitting in your chair. He might not acknowledge the manager. What's the manager doing? He's just sitting around all day. But at least he has done the job. Okay, at least he's doing something. So some amount of acknowledgement is there. So the Smartha Brahmanas may not recognize the supreme manager of this cosmos, but at least they have some respect for some rules and regulations which he has laid down. And at least they work themselves and they encourage others to work within the realm of scriptural injunctions. So that is one reason why the Lord is inclined towards even such Brahmanas. The second is that the Brahmanas, now for example, let us take not Smartha Brahmanas, let us take impersonalist Brahmanas. They may be impersonalist, but at least they acknowledge the difference between matter and spirit. Even the impersonalist says that absolute truth is not matter. The absolute truth is not matter. Beyond this material life, there is something which is paranormal, which is supramundane. As Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur always writes, supramundane, he uses the word. Okay? So there is something beyond this mundane, because beyond just eating, sleeping, mating and defending. So these people acknowledge and also preach the difference between matter and spirit. So though they may be impersonalist, at least they have come one step ahead of the Smartha Brahmanas. At least now they are talking something which is supramundane, something which is transcendental in nature. Yes, they may not acknowledge that the personality of Godhead is Sachidananda Vigraha. Yes, they may not acknowledge that, but at least they acknowledge the principle of something beyond matter. So, the Lord is affectionate to these Brahmanas too. The third reason is that these Brahmanas, regardless whether they are Smartha Brahmanas or impersonalists, they are Vaishnavas, they try to cultivate good qualities. And they live by some principles which are conducive for development of pure devotion, maybe eventually, maybe later. So in the Bhagavad Gita 18.42, there is the famous verse, Samo damas tapasavacham, shanti arjavam evacha, jnanam vijnanam astikyam, brahma karma swabhavajam. So the Lord is talking about the qualities of these Brahmanas which he very much likes. What are those qualities? Peacefulness. Samaha. Peacefulness. Where these Brahmanas try to ensure that their mind is not agitated. They at least try. Their mind is not agitated. And the Lord likes this quality if a person has this quality. That person's mind is never agitated. Damas. Damas means that even if the mind does get agitated, one does not indulge in sense gratification and become a friend of the mind's instructions. So one is being peaceful where the mind is never agitated. Second is damas. If the mind does agitated, at least one is not indulging in the senses. The third is tapaha. Tapaha means austerity. So here the mind does get agitated. One is not indulging, that is one aspect, but here what is happening is another level. That one may tend to indulge also, but then one starts developing a practice of austerity to eventually get out of such indulgence. That is what is called as austerity at the end of the day. So, one is getting carried away. Even if one has inclination, one restricts it and one follows a process of austerity by which eventually one will have, one will get rid of that problem. A Brahman cultivates the quality of shaucham, cleanliness, both external as well as internal. So even smartha Brahmanas, you may find, take bath 3 times a day, which sometimes even Vaishnavas may not. Okay. So practicing Vaishnavas. Okay. Shantim means tolerance and forgiveness. These qualities also are Brahminical qualities. The quality of a Brahmana is to culture the characteristic of a Brahmana is to culture the quality of forgiveness. Because the quality of forgiveness is very dear to the Lord. So they try to culture it. Arjavam, a Brahmana tries to be honest and straightforward in his dealings. And not duplicitous and diplomatic. No kuti nati. Straightforward and simple. Easy to say, difficult to practice. Jnanam vijnanam. A Brahman is engaged in adhyay, swadhyay, engages himself in knowledge and also vijnanam. A Brahmana also passes on wisdom based on one's own realizations. Maharaj Prithu is exactly doing that right now. Astikyam, which comes from faith in the scriptures or knowledge cultivated in deference to the scriptures. Brahma karma swabhavajam. So Lord Krishna is saying these qualities are born from swabhava of a Brahman who is born in a Brahminical family. So these Brahmanas are persons who are inclined to some higher pursuit or to the same material pursuit in a different manner, through some other higher manner which is prescribed in the scripture. These Brahmanas try to keep themselves in the mode of goodness. Prabhupada also wrote in the purport, if you remember just now. So, these Brahmanas try to keep themselves in the mode of goodness and always are very cautious that they don't fall down to the lower modes. For example, in the mode of passion, the mode of passion is characterized by intellectual pursuit and, material sense gratification and work. Lot of activity. Mode of passion is characterized by lot of activity to acquire material things. Mode of ignorance is characterized by lethargy. Whereas the mode of goodness is largely characterized by an intellectual pursuit, which starts with an intellectual pursuit, but by acquiring that knowledge, which enables one to put that knowledge into practice and then ultimately transcend this material world. So, these Brahmanas talk about a better way of life. They help us, the Brahminical culture in general helps us get rid of our negativity and helps us orient our consciousness towards Lord Krishna. So, and what is worthwhile to somebody depends upon his or her mode. For example, someone who is in mode of ignorance, alcohol may be topmost on that person's mind to get intoxicated. For a person who is in the mode of passion, wealth, power, position, respect, all those things will be very important. Respect through position. And for a person who is in the mode of goodness, for such a person, what is important? Gradually moving towards Lord Krishna. Absorption. Reflecting on the higher purposes of life. This is characterized. This is what the mode of goodness characterizes. Such a person, such a Brahman always tries to keep himself or herself in that position and does not want to come down. So there is a lot of struggle for a Brahmana to stay on that platform, and Lord Krishna likes that struggle of a Brahmana. So therefore, these Brahmanas are very dear to the Lord. Regardless of whether they may be smartha, whether they may be impersonalists, not to speak of a Vaishnava Brahman. Vaishnavas are anyway the dearest to the Lord. Now, there is often a debate that whether, especially in India, whether Brahman is by birth or Brahman is by qualification. Undoubtedly, all of us have heard many, many times that Brahman is not by birth, but Brahman is by qualification. But this does not mean that we fanatically ignore the importance of birth in a Brahmana family. Birth doesn't guarantee, but birth in a family of Brahmanas definitely facilitates one's development of Brahminical qualities. So, I was hearing one lecture by Chaitanya Charan Prabhu a few days back, and he made a very nice point. He said that quality is not determined by genealogy in itself. It is not determined by genealogy, but it is not disconnected from genealogy. That was a very nice statement. That helped me understand so much. I'll repeat. Qualities in someone is not necessarily determined by genealogy, but we cannot say that it is disconnected from genealogy. And that is why the word Brahma Bandhu is sometimes used. We all know the famous verse, Karmana Daiva Netrena Jantur Deha Upapattaye Striya Pravishta Udaram Pumsa Reta Kanashraya, which means everyone gets his birth in the womb of a mother based upon his or her own karmic karma as well as karmic inclinations that have come out of karma, bijam, kutam, everything, right? So it is not, so certainly a person who is in, must have some inclination towards Brahminism to be born in the womb of a Brahminical mother. Something will be there because karmana daiva netrana, it happens under the jurisdiction, under the governance of daiva netrana, of the supreme personality of Godhead and his agents. So it can't be just chance that someone is born in a Brahminical family. Now, we all know that when the child is born, all of us go to the hospital, Mataji, congratulations, Prabhuji, congratulations. And then the first thing we say, no, who does the child look like? Mataji is gone under you, Prabhuji, head looks like you. Something like a face, smile looks, you know, goes like you. Now, we all know that the gross body in some way resembles, of the child, in some way resembles the gross body of the parents. Why would the same not be true of the subtle body? That also could be. So therefore, we cannot just ignore the aspect of birth in a Brahminical family. It is not necessarily deterministic in its nature, but it is not disconnected as well. Now, being born in a Brahminical family also could, the parents could also impact or influence the child in the childhood of the child. Okay. The parents could influence that, could impact that. So this is the second aspect. One is through genetics, you just because you are born in that family, some Brahminical culture could be there. But the more important part is in a family of Brahmanas, you will invariably find there are, even if it is Brahminism has gone down, still you will find there are certain vestiges of Brahminical culture that will still be prevalent. Okay. For example, in my house, my ancestors, my grandmother, for example, she wasn't known to be very surrendered to Lord Krishna, but certainly she used to always say that don't pick up things with your left hand. Don't do things with your left hand. Some people eat with, you know, left hand or do things always with the left hand. So she always kind of, you know, she used to really be heavy on everyone in the family. Why are you doing with your left hand? Do with your right hand. When you are even giving something to someone, always give with your right hand. When you receive, receive with your right hand. The importance of taking bath. The importance, for example, she always, you know, in my house there was this, when the ladies had, were off the altar, then the ladies were not even supposed to cook. Okay. Now, of course, there are certain Vaishnava rules which transcend all this. That is the realm of Raganuga Bhakti. There is no doubt about that. But right now, we are not talking about that. We are talking about at least the basic, you know, Brahminical culture. So, the ladies have to stay in a separate place and they will be given all the facilities. They will be given food, everything. But the lady should not come into the kitchen and cook. Okay. Mm. So and obvious, and also the ladies stay separately so that then there is no connection between the man and the woman at that time. Okay. So these are all things which, for example, because I had the opportunity to be born in a Brahminical family, I knew many things which Srila Prabhupada talks about. Just because I have seen my grandfather, grandmother, my father, mother doing all these things, including the aspect of demigod worship and how to do demigod worship, decorating the deities, and all this was already there. How to respect Goddess Saraswati when it comes to Dashara, you know, keeping the books, and then of course we never opened the Bhagavad Gita, but at least there was aarti done to Bhagavad Gita. It was only after Prabhupada came in our life that we opened the Bhagavad Gita. But at least there was a principle of respecting the books. Books should not be kept on the floor just like that. Okay, like Mataji, Rasanandi Mataji has very nicely kept it in a mat here. Okay, so this is a Brahminical culture, right? We don't just keep anything anywhere. So there is a lot of these things which you just learn, you know, just being born in that kind of family. So we cannot just ignore that aspect of birth. Because there are facilities, there is a culture, there is a support system that comes in Brahminical families. Otherwise, Chaitanya Charitamrita was mentioning further, there is one more point, important point he said. He says, if it were not so, why would Vamandev offer obeisance to Shukracharya? Because Shukracharya was anyway giving inimical instructions, right? But still the Lord respected Shukracharya because he was a Brahman. Even if we see in the Ashwathama, not Vad exactly, it didn't happen, but the Lord, but still there is a holdback that is happening. Draupadi is saying, he is the Guru's son, and there is a lot of Vad Vivad, debate that is happening, that he is the son of a, he is a Brahmana, he should not be killed like that. So, this is a cultural aspect that is coming. Maharaj Yudhishthira also, when he was doing the Rajasuya Yajna, he invited all those Brahmanas to the Yajna, some of them who were siding with the Kaurava army. We saw that even when we were studying our Bhakti Vaibhav course, we saw that. So, there is a lot of respect for Brahmanas, which is very cultural in its nature as well. However, one does not become a Brahmana simply being born in a Brahminical family. Because guna karma vibhagasha, one has to also develop Brahminical qualities. But having born in a Brahminical family, one learns how to leverage the advantage of that birth to become Brahminical for elevating one's consciousness. So therefore, even if one is born in a Brahminical family, if one actually practices Brahminism in order to develop love of Godhead, the Lord definitely accepts that. So there is no disqualification in being born in a Brahminical family, as much as there is no automatic qualification. At the end of the day, the Lord is Bhavagrahi Janardana. That is why that famous verse is there in Canto 3. Chapter 33, text 7. Aho bhata swap pacho te gariyan. What is the next line? Yet jivagre vartate nama tubhyam tepus tapaste juhur shashnur arya brahmanachur nama grananti yete. It is said that swapacho, dog eaters, these people can also become great devotees. It is said, even if a person who is born in a family of dog eaters, if they are chanting the names of the Lord, then it is said that then they must have done so many things in their previous life, even if they are born in a family of dog eaters in this life. Even a dog eater is not qualified from bhakti, but if a person is, for example, born in a family of non-Vaishnavas or dog eaters, if such a person is chanting the holy name of the Lord, one cannot just go by that person's birth. That person is as good as a Brahmana because that person is trying to cultivate Brahminical qualities. And it is said that since they have come to the platform of chanting, they must have mastered all the Vedas and they must have mastered all the ritualistic activities also in an earlier birth. That is why even if they are born in a family of dog eaters, they have come into the temple now and they are taking the process of Krishna consciousness and chanting the holy names of the Lord. So all this for the birth aspect of Brahmanas. Now, Lord Krishna loves all children. Now here if you see in this verse, it is said that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the ancient eternal Godhead who is foremost amongst all personalities, obtained the opulence of his staunch reputation which purifies the entire universe by worshipping the lotus feet of those Brahmanas and Vaishnavas. So one may almost say that the Lord, why is he showing partiality to these Brahmanas and Vaishnavas? Because the Lord is supposed to be impartial. So why is the Lord only serving these people differently than others? So is the Lord partial towards these? So we need to understand that Lord Krishna, he loves all of us, because regardless of who is from which varna or which ashram, everybody is God's children. So a parent will love, a father or mother will love all the children equally. So does Lord Krishna. At the same time, and this is again a very interesting point that I took from Chaitanya Charan Prabhu's class, he says that Lord Krishna's love for all living beings, it's a very interesting point. Lord Krishna's love for all living beings is based on reciprocation and not discrimination. Lord Krishna's love for these people, for the Brahmanas, is specifically based on reciprocation and not discrimination. So it's not, he's not discriminating here, but he's simply reciprocating with these people because they reciprocate with him as well. Whereas the general populace may not reciprocate him in that way. So he gave a very simple example. He said, if a father is a very successful businessman and he has got two children, okay, one son of his is enjoying the father's wealth and is spending his time in pubs and discos, dancing and wasting father's money. And despite so many instructions, he is not changing his ways. Whereas the other son, he says that, okay, don't worry my dear father, you know, I will take care of your business, I will help you, okay, don't worry, you don't have, no, don't worry about your business. Not only that, even if I will try to reform my younger brother to the best extent possible, but in any case, please always be assured, I will take care of my younger brother, okay. Someone tells this to father, it is so reassuring to the father. Now automatically, would not some delta affection flow more for towards this child of the father? Automatically, yes. Why not? Because this son is aligned with the father's agenda. So definitely the father will have some more inclination towards the son. Now do you call that as being partial? No. The father loves both the children equally. But because one is reciprocating in a manner with the father also then does that little bit of extra reciprocation towards this one child. So now, if you look at Lord Krishna, most of the world, he is providing rain for everyone. He is providing food for everyone. It's not that rain is only happening near the temple areas. Right? Rain is happening everywhere. Right? Soil is fertile in so many places. Not around 1 kilometer of the temple. No. Everyone is getting basic things of life. But at the same time, there are some people who have taken it for granted and who also reject him, saying that, oh no, he is not responsible for all these things. And there are some others who out of gratitude, who out of at least kartavya buddhi, duty, some approach him. And some approach him out of love, saying that, Lord, you are doing so many things for us, what can I do for you? Some people ask that. And then when the Lord sees that one child of me is asking me about my business, no, then why should I not reciprocate him in a special manner? And then the others are saying, no, you are partial. The Lord is partial towards us. So, this aspect has to be very clear. Now, this reciprocity is a fundamental aspect of love. Otherwise, why would Rupa Goswami say, dadati prati grihanati guhya makhyati pruchyati bhukte bhojayate chaiva sadvida sadvidi priti lakshanam. Priti lakshanam means what? Reciprocity is a very important aspect. Dadati pratigrahati. Give and take. Give and take. So even with the Lord, we receive from the Lord, but we also give to the Lord our heart, our services. He doesn't need anything. He is Atmaram. But he still sees the attitude of the devotee towards him and then he becomes very favorable. And then what happens when he sees such attitude, then the Lord becomes very favorable. So We talked about the Smartha Brahmanas, we talked about the impersonalist also. Obviously, the Vaishnavas are most dear to the Lord. Vaishnava Brahmanas. Why? A. They are developing Brahminical qualities. B. They are not developing it just for material acquisitions. They are not developing Brahminical qualities, ignoring His personal form. They are not only accepting His personal form, but they are also accepting the fact that serving that personal form eternally with love and affection is the goal of human form of life. Now when the Lord sees this, they are already Brahmanas, they are Vaishnavas on top of that, then the Lord will reciprocate maximum with these Brahmana Vaishnavas. So just imagine how much more dear they are to the Lord. And then if we offend these Brahmanas and Vaishnavas, how the Lord is going to take that from us. So there are a lot of pastimes. We will discuss some two or three pastimes now about how the Lord reciprocates with these Brahmana, specifically Brahman Vaishnavas. And Prabhupada also gives some of these examples. He gives the example of Sudama, he gives the example of Narad Muni. In the purports itself, we read that. Now, one of the chapters that personally struck me about offenses to Brahmanas is in 10th canto, which is the deliverance of King Nriga. Few days back, you know, during our Bhakti Vriksha retreat in Grampians, we discussed this, you know, in great detail. Deliverance of King Nriga. This is there in canto 10, chapter 64. That is one of the aspects where we really understand, if you offend Brahmanas, what can happen to us? Okay, so let us see the mood of the Lord. Now, the pastime of King Nriga, what is it? Once upon a time, Lord Krishna's children, the Vrishnis, all his children, relatives, everyone, the Vrishni dynasty, including Pradyumna, his own son, all these people were playing near a well. Okay, they were playing in some area. When they went, you know, they saw inside a well. Inside the well, what did they see? They saw a lizard, a giant lizard. Okay, and they were very amused by seeing this giant lizard. But obviously they tried their best to help, and the giant lizard was stuck in that well. So they tried to pull out that giant lizard. They could not do. So they went to Lord Krishna and said that there is a giant lizard. We can't do anything about it. Okay, can you come and sort this out for us? And then Lord Krishna goes there, and then what he does? Just by his touch, he not only removes the giant lizard, but also he reinstates the giant lizard into its original form. Lord Krishna, and what is that form? When he touches the giant lizard takes up the form of a demigod, or of a heavenly, of a denizen of the heavenly planet. And then Lord Krishna is asking, my dear giant lizard, former ex-giant lizard, who are you? And this person says that my name is King Nriga. Okay. So now you may wonder, the Lord, God is what? Omniscient. He is all knowing. Now why the Lord has to ask, who are you? The Lord doesn't need to know from King Nriga that he was King Nriga. Okay. But why is still the Lord asking him, who are you? Okay. Because in this whole chapter, he wants King Nriga to narrate his pastime, his life story, so that this is very instructive to Lord Krishna's children and his dynasty. So sometimes you deliberately, ask someone, if you want to tell someone, in your program, if someone is coming and that person is addicted to alcohol, then what happens? You can call someone else who had that, alcohol problem. And you can tell them that, can you please tell your story directly? You can't tell, X person. So Y person's life story, through that the X person will know, oh, this is for me now. So this is what Lord Krishna is doing. Okay. So through the pastime of Lord Nriga, he wants his wards to hear this and then understand how dangerous it is to deal casually with Brahmanas. Now, he asks King Nriga, who are you? So King Nriga, what does he say? He says, O Lord, my name is King Nriga. And he says,
probably you must have heard about my acts of charity. He uses the word probably. Okay. Now that is the humility of King Nraga, because it is said King Nraga's charity was infinite. It couldn't be counted. It is said, he says, in fact he himself says, because Lord Krishna asked him, he says that you might be knowing that I am known for my charity of cows. And how many cows has he donated? He says, I have donated as many cows as there are sand particles on the earth. As there are as many cows as there are raindrops in a shower. And as many cows, as many celestial stars are present. That many cows I have. It may sound a bit of an exaggeration here. Okay. But Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in Saratha Darshini clarifies that this is not an exaggeration, because he says that if you give a cow dan, a gau dan, on a solar eclipse or in a holy dam, one cow is akin to millions of cows. So that is the ratio in which it operates. If you do it at the proper place and at the proper time. Therefore, it could be entirely true. In Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, therefore it is true, he says, that this person did millions of charity of cows. Now, obviously, Lord Krishna is, the cows are very dear to Lord Krishna. And anyone who gives charity of cows obviously has taken care of cows also, no? If he has not taken care of cows, if he gives some, thaka hua cow, how do I say thaka hua in English? Some lazy cow. But some cow which is not fit for you, and you are giving everything, like we give to Salvation Army, Okay. So if we give that kind of dan, so obviously nobody that is not acceptable. But these cows are very top quality cows that he gave. Top quality cows. They were called as Kapila cows. Kapila cows are supposed to be top breed. And these cows were honestly earned by, not that he also took from somewhere and gave, taking from someone else's pocket and giving. Not like that. Okay. So honestly earned cows he was giving. Top quality cows he was giving. And so many cows. Now obviously, if these are top quality cows that he is giving, then he must have served those cows also. Which means, Lord Krishna will be extremely pleased with him. Right? Actually, he should go back to the spiritual world. But he is in the body of a giant lizard. Just imagine this, after doing all these things. And we haven't even done one upon millionth of whatever he has done. Right? Okay. So then why this giant lizard body? So everyone is surprised. Such a charitable person, how can this happen? So then King Nraga says, once upon a time, when I was going along with these cows, one of my cows, one of the cows from another herd strayed into, mixed along with my cows. And then one Brahmana came and asked me for a gaudan. And I told, okay, take this cow. Okay, I didn't know that it had just strayed from somewhere else. But then what happened? The original owner and that fellow started fighting. He told him that this is my cow. He said, no, Nraga has given it to me. Okay, they both started fighting. And they both started fighting so much that I tried to convince both of them. I told them, hang on, don't fight. One cow, I'll give you a million cows. But don't ask for that cow, I'll give you a million cows. He says, no, I want that cow only. Or I want nothing else. Now, those Brahmanas also were not some Dood Ka Dula Hua Brahmanas. Dood Ka Dula means not very innocent Brahmanas. They were also hard nuts to crack. Okay. So he said, I want that cow only. Okay. And then this fellow, he said, okay, he wants that cow, you give me, I'll give you a million cow. No, you have already given this to me. I don't want anything else. So both of them parted ways. Okay. And because those Brahmanas were offended, what happened? At the time of judgment, Yamaraji came and told Nraga, there is a problem now. Okay, you have offended Brahmanas. Okay. Therefore, but at the end of the day, you did so much charity also. So you are a good boy and a bad boy. Right? So what do you want to do? Punish me first. Punish you first because you have been a bad boy, or you want to be rewarded because you are a good boy? And on top of that, he also tells, look, your goodness is so good, you have been a good boy for so many things and for so many years, that if I start counting your good qualities, you will be in heavenly planet for millions and millions of years. But just this one mistake you did, okay, you offended Brahmanas. Okay, so do you want to go to hell, or do you want to go? Do you want to suffer, you know, for that, or do you want to enjoy first rewards and then suffer? So he says, no, I'll suffer first, and then Lord Yamaraj says, so fall, and then bang in the well, giant lizard. Okay. Now, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur writes that there are several aspects of this personality, King Raja. Now you may think, if he has done such a sin that Yamaraj has to give him, you know, animal body, how come he got darshan of Lord Krishna then? Okay. And how come if he got darshan of Lord Krishna, how did he get it? Because there is nowhere it is said that he was a devotee of the Lord. Okay. So there are so many things that are there. So King Raga, it is mentioned that he was a Mishri Bhakta. He was more inclined to Karma Mishra Bhakta. So his goal of giving charity, he gave charity of cows, no doubt, but his intention in giving charities was not to please Krishna, not Samasiddhir Haritoshan. He did it as an auspicious ritualistic activities offered in the Vedas as fruitive activities or karmakand. So his mood was that. Okay. So he was feeling very pious. Oh, I did such a nice activity. So nice to give Gaudan. It's always so good. You know. Some people, you know, when we give Bhagavad Gita distribute, they say, oh, very nice activity you are doing. Vidyadhan is always good. You know. So fine, but obviously what they are meaning is, even you could have given a physics book or chemistry book also. Vidyadhan. So they don't really understand Raja Vidyada. Okay. But this is also good culture. Okay, giving any knowledge is good. But they don't thank you necessarily because you gave a Bhagavad Gita, because you are giving Vidyada. So sometimes they'll thank you for, you know, in a very suboptimal way. So King Nrga, he gave charity in that mood. Therefore, he qualifies for the heavenly planets. Now, because he was not a bhakta, he is not insulated from aparadha. Right, his apradhas have not gone away because of chanting of the holy name. No, he didn't do it. There was no history of he chanting the holy names of the Lord. Therefore, when he did his bad, he had to go to the hellish planet. Interesting now is, how come he got Lord Krishna's touch? Personally, Lord Krishna intervened in his life. So therefore, it is mentioned that he had served a Brahman Vaishnava. How? Because once upon a time, a Brahman Vaishnava had come to him for some facilities. He had deities. So he gave him land, temple, money, everything. And he didn't have any intention, specific intentions of Samasiddhi Haritoshana. But he got Agyata Shukriti by that. He also got some Bhakti Unmukhi Shukriti as a result of that. So therefore, because that Vaishnava blessed him, he got darshan of the Lord. And the Lord came personally for his deliverance. To get him out of that giant lizard form. And it's not that he went back to the spiritual world. He was reinstated back in his celestial form. Okay, so Lord Krishna's touch, you know, here, Lord Krishna's touch can also be, one can go back to Godhead. But here he was reinstated, that's all. Because his bhakti was not paka hua bhakti. Bhajanna pakko tha pate tato yadi. He had not perfected his bhajan. Therefore he could not go back immediately. But still, he had the personal darshan of the Lord. And then, that what he saw, the form of the Lord, definitely inspired him. So I have not studied later on any Varnan of King Nuga up until now, but probably he did. Gopaleshwar, did he? No, there is no mention beyond that. But then obviously one who has darshan of the Lord, like Dhruva Maharaj, then for him the celestial planets are useless tinsel, right? So here is one example of how one has to suffer. And then what happens? Lord Krishna then starts talking to his children. See what happened to this fellow. Though he gave so much charity, one mistake to Brahmanas and he became a lizard. Now hear from me. And then Lord Krishna starts speaking. Let us hear what Lord Krishna told his own children now, the Vrishni dynasty, about Brahman Aparad. Lord Krishna says, his instructions was that stealing a Brahmana's property produces great grief. Stealing a Brahmana's property produces great grief. Dujaram.
and is indigestible. One cannot digest if one steals from a Brahmana and tries to eat. It is indigestible even if done by potent people. Even if you are a most powerful people, you are a president, MLA, whatever you may be. If you steal from a Brahmana, you cannot digest it even if you are a powerful man. Lord says, halahal poison. Halahal is the worst form of poison. Halahal poison has an antidote. You can reverse it, undo it, like you do in Excel. If you take poison, buy some gems and mantras and tantras and pujas. Okay, you can do all that. However, and this halahal poison only affects the individual who partakes of it. But a Brahman offense is one, it has got no antidote. Okay, of course, chanting of the holy name is still there. But here, Lord Krishna wants to pass on a message very clearly. He says that don't take it very lightly. There is no material antidote for this, right? For a Brahmana offense. Not only that, but the person who does it is not the only one who has to pay. The entire lineage has to pay. The entire family kul will be destroyed by offense to a Brahman. And he says, if you use a Brahmana's property without his permission, 3 generations will be impacted. But if you usurp, forget about taking permission, you are usurping, then 10 generations will be impacted. Okay. So sometimes you never know why in our life band baja hua hai. We don't know. God knows who did what in our lineage. Okay. Of course, we are also not very done nothing great, but still. So you never know which generation did what because of which misery is coming to our family. We don't know. But from this pastime, you can get some smattering of understanding. It is said that if you offend a Brahman, the Lord actually counts the tears which come from the Brahmana's eyes and the dust particles, the number of dust particles which are impacted, which those tears contact, that many years, the family, that many years, as much as the dust particles, the families are cooked in Kumbhipaka, in the hellish planets. And as if that is not enough, after that hellish existence, you have to be born as a worm in stool for 60,000 years. Is that enough? Okay. And then Lord says, be very careful about dealing with Brahmanas, especially now Brahmanas, this is Brahmanas. You can imagine now Brahman Vaishnavas, what will happen? Okay. So, even if the Brahmana attacks, there is a verse. I'm not just exaggerating. There is a verse in this. It's a key memory verse for us in the next Bhakti Vedanta exam. Even if a Brahmana is inimical towards you, even if a Brahmana curses you, still, you don't retaliate. Just stay with folded hands and just you can go away from that place, but do not retaliate. The Lord says, then you will say, hang on, I have to protect myself also. No, that's how the mind will tell you. But the Lord says, I will protect you. Because you are not trying to protect yourself, I will protect you. Don't worry. But when it's a Brahman and specifically Brahman Vaishnava, be very careful. So, and then the Lord enters the palace. So here is one example. Next 2-3 minutes we'll quickly go through yet another beautiful example of how Lord deals with Brahmanas. This is from Rukmini, Rukmini's pastime. So who went to give the message of Lord Krishna? To give the message of Lord Goddess of Fortune Rukmini to Krishna? A Brahman went. So there's a nice description of how Lord receives this Brahman. This is in Srimad Bhagavatam 10:50-28. So, what happens was this Brahman now is taking the message of Rukmini and is showing the, and is going to meet Lord Krishna. So, as soon as the Brahman enters, what happens? How the Lord is dealing with this Brahman? It is said that the Lord was sitting on a throne. As soon as the Brahmana entered, what did the Lord do? The Lord immediately descended from the throne and seated him there. Similar to how he dealt with Sudama. And then the Lord worshipped the Brahmana. It is said he worshipped the Brahmana as the demigods are worshipped. Like in that form, Lord Krishna worshipped that Brahman who came with the message.
he fed the Brahmana and ensured that the Brahman gets enough rest. And then the Lord massaged the Brahmana's feet with his own hands. The messenger. So much for a messenger. Okay. And then the Lord is asking questions to the Brahman. Now see the kind of questions that the Lord is asking. Question one, the Lord is asking is, hey Brahman, are your religious practices, which are sanctioned by the senior authorities, proceeding without difficulty? Which means, are you okay? Are you able to do your religious practices properly? Is anyone disturbing you? Is your mind always satisfied? Are you satisfied? Are you trouble free? Is your king attending to your welfare? Are you taken good care of? If so, such kings are very dear to me, the Lord is telling him. And after doing all these things, only then the Lord is asking him, okay, now why have you come? What is the purpose of your visit? Now Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says, it is not that the Lord was not curious or eager to know this. The Lord was also, as Paramatma, he knows everything. He knows Rukmini's problem right now, what he is going through. And it is said that the Lord was also going through separation from Rukmini. But the Lord kept his personal agenda aside and then he only focused on the Brahman. So this is a very good example. And then the Lord accepts that letter from the Brahman, and then obviously, you know, and the whole Rukmini pastime happens. So there are umpteen such cases we see where the Lord, with his personal example, is teaching all of us how to deal with Brahmanas and Vaishnavas. Now, having done this, then here, if you go back to this verse, it says that the opulence of his staunch reputation, which purifies the entire universe, the Lord obtained his reputation by worshipping the lotus feet of these Brahmanas and Vaishnavas. That is how the Lord has become great. In one sense, it's a statement of emotion and affection. However, the absolute truth is the Lord doesn't have to earn his reputation through any other way, because he is a supreme personality of Godhead. He is a source of all reputation. However, out of affection, one is saying this. Prithu Maharaj is saying this not only out of affection, but out of, because he is instructing. When you are instructing, you can give examples in a different way that people can relate to. He is saying, if such a great personality, okay, is doing this, then why can't you do it? And if you all don't do it, then you will gain disrepute if you don't deal with Brahmanas and Vaishnavas carefully. So we'll stop here. See if any questions or comments are. Yes.
How do you identify that a person whom we are dealing with is a Brahman or a Vaishnava, like in office, for example? We come across a Vaishnava, how do we know, how we identify?
Okay. So in office there is a general instruction. Don't try to analyze people whether they are Varna and Ashram. Because color Shudra Shambhava. Okay. And we are also one of them because we are working in that office. Okay. No, seriously. So the fact that, you know, let us understand, when we go to office, we may think that I am not my office, I am working in a very, you know, I am working in an esteemed financial institution. We may say like that. But at the end of the day, the IT programming that we may do, or the business processes that we may optimize, helps the bank or the financial institution give loans out to butchers. So, regardless of any kind of work that we may have, we can, this is what Kadambakarna Maharaj once said, that you cannot avoid Ugra Karma through any artificial methods. So, all that we can do is chant Hare Krishna. Still, in office, we are not required to, you know, identify Brahmanas and Vaishyas and Kshatriyas and Shudras. In office, it's more important that we conduct ourselves as Brahmanas. When I say Brahmanas, it doesn't mean that we go and do book distribution in office. Okay, not fanatically, but people will observe us. How do we react to extenuating circumstances? How do we respond to a very challenging situation? For example, if we are always yelling at our subordinates all the time, and we are also running here and there, you know, in tension and stress, okay, then we are not any different from any other manager who is always in the mode of passion. Brahmana means using intelligence, okay, and tact to handle situations. Brahmana means that you are absolutely conducting yourself in a non-political way in office. Office is replete with politics. Nobody will challenge that, right? Everyone will accept that here, right? But we don't partake in those politics. We exemplify ourselves by our own example, the qualities of Arjavam, Shantim, whatever that, peacefulness, everything, we exemplify. So we don't analyze others. When we conduct ourselves like that, even at our workplace, others will be enthused to come and ask, how come you are able to be so as such? And it's easier said than done. I'm also struggling, okay? But we at least make an attempt to do that. When others observe that, they will definitely come and inquire. They will see something, your behavior is slightly different. Sometimes when in office, when everyone does a piece of work, when something is accomplished, you know, generally one person is very eager to send a mail to the higher-ups. You know, this is done. So everyone is wondering, who is going to send that mail? Before he sends, let me sit at 12 o'clock and send that mail. You know, before the other person sends. But a devotee's mind is not like that. Because we know all this is useless when it comes to the goal of life. So we know that rewards for our work, if Krishna wants it, he will give it to us. So we are not over-anxious to get those rewards in workplace. But what we do is, when we go to our workplace, we say that, okay, this is my Kurukshetra. Lord has ordained this for me. So when we go to our workplace, we give it our best effort. We try to be as honest as possible in our dealings. We try to work with as much integrity as we can at our workplace. And we leave it to the Lord to come as Paramatma in the hearts of our managers to decide whether they want to reward us or not. But we don't go and keep on pestering our bosses, or give me a promotion. Because what? When the moment you do that, just like this, then we are not taking shelter of the Lord for anything, right? We are always trying to think that, okay, I am going to do this. So just work with a very, be very loyal, because we are taking salary from the company. Go there, work very loyally, but at the same time, be detached from the fruits of your activities. Know that some days, and even if sometimes, your bosses may come and say, you are the next best manager that came to mankind. You know, at that time, don't start, you know, adjusting your time. Yeah, I always knew that I was kind of something special. But yeah, thank you. You know, I mean, I was waiting for so many years. You guys now acknowledge me. Yeah, yeah. No, we don't do all that. So we take that also, saying, okay, we don't say also, hey, no, I am fallen. You know, no, we don't do any of these exchanges. We are just normal. That's all. We just say, okay, thank you very much for your kind words. That's all. At the same time, when we get chastised, then we don't say, does Krishna exist or what? You know, what is this? I work so hard. No. We don't go to any of these extremes. That is that dhammas. You know, we are all, just be equipoised. When you are like that in every situation, people will take notice. People will take notice, not just to reward you, but people will think, if one person can manage like this, we can also manage like this. You know, other hyper-excited managers will also come and think that, okay, if this person can lead by this example, why can't I do that? And then, sometimes you will find that odd person coming and asking you, like, you know, they say, aapka twacha ka raaz kya hai, they tell in an advertisement. There's a fair and lovely theme, like that. Aapka dhammas ka raaz kya hai? What is the secret behind your equipoise nature or whatever? If someone asks, then unleash the science of self-realization. Give them a book. That is opportunity when it comes to preach. Yeah, you know what? Yeah, I found this something, a mantra meditation technique, which is very good. You know, what is this mantra meditation? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. You want to know more? Come for the program. That's how we pull. Okay? But we don't analyze everyone. Who is Brahman? Who is? We have to assume that everyone is Shudra in Kali Yuga. In fact, Shudra is also a very exalted position in Kali Yuga. Once, you know, I was hearing a lecture by Gaurang Prabhu, and he was telling, Kalo Shudra Sambhava is a very compassionate statement that Mahaprabhu made. Right now is the time of Yavanas and Chandalas, not even Malachas. Three levels below that. Okay. So there is no need to ask anyone about their Varna or Ashram. Anything else? Yes, Madhuri.
But you were mentioning about inheriting subtle bodies, like from...
Inheriting?
Subtle body.
Yeah.
What was that? Can you explain?
So, Prabhupada explains it in the science of self-realization, that the subtle body, you know, travels when the gross body is left, and based upon our inclinations, then it attains the next body. So, the Lord always wants to face, you know, so whatever consciousness we have at the time of death, so we will continue from that consciousness. So obviously, we need an environment to continue that consciousness. So sometimes some Brahminical tendency is there, so one could get into a Brahminical family because of that. So that is what I mentioned. And then because one got in now, then it is further, it could be fanned because of the cultural aspects in that family. Yes, Paul.
Have you given an example of King Narada regarding he knows his pastime?
Mm-hmm.
So as we don't know our past time what we did, and but in astrology if we see they give us like you have Kal, Sarp, Dosh and this and that. So do we follow that or do we just how?
Okay. First of all, we don't do past times. The Lord does past time. Of course, we do several kants. We also do. Wo alag hai. Hamare our own kant. But yeah, what you are talking about is if because of our activities we are told kala sarpa dosh is there, this dosh is there, that dosh. So if we actually try to address each and every doshas, we may find that it's a catch 22 situation because of all the kant that we did in the previous lifetime. Therefore, Prabhupada simply said, "Kant and be happy. Don't try to analyze your karma too much." Okay? If you are given a medicine and doctor is saying this will cure your cancer, take it, cancer gone. No, you are not going to into biological laboratory and find out. Actually, tell me how the cancer cell got into me. Which are the cells which are attacking each of my parts of my body? How come he did not attack drugs alone? All I am worried about is my deliverance. So let us take the medicine and let us go back to God. And when we see the medicine working on us, we can take an opportunity to serve the Lord by saying that, look, hey, in my life I had this problem, it's working. You also take this medicine. And that's how we will end up getting more mercy of the Lord. That is preaching. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Bharata Bhumite Haila Manushya Janmayara Janma Sarthak Kari Kara Paraupakar. Take the medicine. You have been born in Bharatvarsh, very nice birth. Take the medicine yourself, cure yourself, and then go out and preach to others. And again, you don't have to wait till you are perfectly cured. If you have 10 problems, headache, neck pain, arthritis in the foot, everything, at least if the headache is gone, you can start preaching, saying that, my headache went. You may still have arthritic pain. So one doesn't have to wait for one to attain perfection to start assisting the Lord in the preaching movement. Yes, bro.
You said that some Brahmins, they do some things for material benefits. But before that also you said that Krishna looks for emotion and he does not count. So I'm finding it difficult to understand that how is it that they can just acknowledge that he is the supreme and then do everything for material benefits and still get the same amount of love from Krishna. That it sets a very dangerous precedent, as in like you can do whatever you want but just acknowledge the Supreme Lord and then you are fine.
So frankly speaking, if you think of our own lives, even as practicing Vaishnavas, don't we have any material attachments? Don't we work for material things even after we are Vaishnavas, even if we acknowledge the Supreme Personality of Godhead? So why do we think that they will not do what we are doing? So in that way, that's one way of understanding it. Okay. Smartha Brahmanas, as I mentioned before, the Lord is still affectionate to these Brahmanas because they are respecting some higher authority. They may not acknowledge Krishna, but they are not saying that, they are not the cause of anarchy in society. They are at least trying to bring some order in society by telling people that, look, even if you want to attain material opulence, don't go and pickpocket. Don't go and sell drugs in Fitzroy Street. Okay? At least they are not giving those kind of ideas. What they are saying is that if you want to do this, then you can do this particular yagya. If you have a health problem, you can do this particular yagya, that particular yagya. So, in one sense, through that, the Brahmanas respect, the Brahmanas also acknowledge that everything is not in our hands. Okay? It is not just through, material manipulation that you can do it. You still need some kind of a divine intervention in your life. So, they have some respect for some divinity. And the Lord catches that yes, at least they are not thinking they are the supreme. They are accepting that there is some divinity which will give results. Better than going out and doing, nefarious activities to get those same opulences. So that aspect of that Smartha Brahmana is what Lord likes, and therefore the Lord reciprocates. Because the Lord has Lord's consciousness, if you see, the Lord is such that he is very, that's why he is called Bhagawan. He is supremely renunciate. So if you do 10 things bad and one thing good, the Lord focuses, he definitely focuses on that one thing very good. Unlike all of us who will focus on the other 10 bad things. So the Lord is focusing on that one aspect of these Brahmanas. Yes, we'll take one last question because this time is
going. You mentioned during your provision that if you do those chanting regularly,
yes,
that burns the karmas.
Yes. Yeah. There's more. Okay. Chanting not only burns the karmas. Okay. The beauty of chanting is that, for example, if there are weeds which are
growing, and because of that, some you don't want certain plants to come up. So one is you are chopping that, but chanting burns in such a way that it will not grow only. So chanting addresses many things. Chanting first of all removes your sinful reactions. Chanting also removes the tendency for sinful action. So it is both, it doesn't address the symptom of the problem only, it addresses the root cause of the problem. The root cause of sin is inclination to sin. So chanting removes the reactions to sins, chanting removes the inclination to sin, but on top of that, the best reward of chanting is that it bestows love of God. So there are three levels at which chanting operates. Removal of reactions, removal of inclinations to sin, which will then cause those reactions, and because becoming sinless is not the goal of life, Prabhupada said many times. The goal of life is to develop love of Godhead. Because even animals are sinless. Animals are just operating on their own nature. Animals don't commit. I mean, animals are not doing politics. Okay, how do we murder that fellow? You know, how do I run away with that fellow's wife? You know. Animals are not doing this. It's only human beings who do that. Animals are not exploiting the environment. They are living in their own natures. So the goal of human life is not to just become sinless. The goal of human life is to develop love of God. Is that clear? So chanting does all these three things.
But even if it is not done properly, in the sense like while driving, if you need to chant, attention will be 100%, but still it will benefit those long distance.
We can chant when we drive, but we don't drive when we chant. It's like that. It depends on how you see it. Because chanting is tatrakpita niyamita smaranena kala. There is no time when you should not chant. But at the same time, Lord also sees whether this guy is giving me exclusive time or he is multitasking. If we multitask with the Lord will also multitask with us. He will say, hang on, you have probably 1 minute. Let me just address that and come back to you. How would you like to be done with them? Lord, your emergency is there in my life. Oh, done, man. I'm busy in a meeting. I'll do that also. Little bit, everything. Okay. Now you tell me. No. That's how we also chant. We are multitasking. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. We are doing something else. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. We are multitasking. He will also multitask. Ye yatha mam prapadyante. He will reciprocate based upon our mood. Therefore, it is said that it is better not to multitask during chanting. Secondly, when you multitask, we will not get a reverential mood when we chant. Still, after hearing all this, we may still multitask. But at least we should know that we are going in the gutter. Okay. Is that clear? Okay.
But Prabhupada mentioned.
Okay, can I take this question offline? If you don't mind. Okay. So that others want to go for prasad and can go. Srila Prabhupada ki, Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Okay, Prabhupada.